probably be returning home a day early. Thanks to the critical power failure that occurred as a result of a drop in pressure to fuel cells 1 and 3 aboard the command module. This threw the entire load on fuel cell number 2, and that fuel cell could not be expected to hold up forever. So instead, Jim Lovell, Fred Hayes went aboard the lunar module. Jack Swaggart stayed aboard the command module. The lunar module has now been activated. It's taken over the burden, the essential load from the command module. Problem now is one of aligning the lunar module computer to the command module computer. They have now lost command module data.
When they keep talking about time, like which clock are they using, GET or time base? They're talking about 79 hours. GET. They're talking 79 hours GET.
Yeah.
So you look at 21 hours before they do it.
As far as the burn,
I suspect that's the most efficient way to do it.
Once you're getting close to the moon, you're usually better off to use the moon as a slingshot to put it down back around. Unless you've got an awful lot of propellant.
All right, now we have the situation. It's been decided. The lunar mission will be aborted. 79 hours and 30 minutes. We expect the descent propulsion system of the lunar module to be burned to accelerate the spacecraft, to put it on a return trajectory for Earth, using the moon's gravity as a slingshot effect to swing the spacecraft around and to bring it back. At this stage, this is an abort. This is an abort. Definitely. The command module computer is now being aligned to the lunar module computer. Power down the command module computer. Power down the inertial measuring unit. Signs Odyssey. Odyssey, of course, represents the command module. A large group of tense people have gathered here in Mission Control, Houston. The decisions have been made. Apollo 13 will not attempt a lunar landing. Instead, at 79 hours and 30 minutes into the mission, approximately 2 hours from now, the lunar module descent propulsion system will be burned to accelerate the spacecraft to send it on its way back toward Earth. We expect a landing now, earlier than originally planned by quite a considerable margin, at 142 hours into the mission, approximately 70 hours from now, 3 days. What happened, simply put, was a fuel cell problem. Pressure dropped in fuel cells 1 and 3. Fuel cell 2 couldn't hold the load. Now Lovell and Hayes are in the lunar module. Jack Swaggart in the command module as they discuss plans for the return to Earth. Roy Neal in Mission Control. We are listening now as the flight director, Glenn Lunny, discusses the turn-off of power in some systems. We're talking now about the problem of powering down the lunar module. Otherwise, they'll have to keep the lunar module powered up until they get clean around the moon, says Swaggart.
Let's go with Ward. Could you get Ward to the pool rewrite desk that Jim Shelter is trying to reach him on their tie line telephone? Thank you very much.
I'm listening rather carefully here, so if I drop out in terms of conversation, you'll understand, I'm sure. Turning off circuit breakers, 3 and 4 at the moment. Jack Lausma, capsule communicator. Communicating at the moment, you may hear him calling in Aquarius.
Yeah.
When he does that, of course, is the lunar module, occupied at the right moment by James Lovell and Fred Hayes. Jack Swaggart in Odyssey, the command module. All three astronauts spread apart, using both spacecraft right now to make up for a power failure. The activation being referred to as the activation of the lunar module being used in this case. They are activating the lunar module preparatory to firing up the descent propulsion system engine. About 2 hours from now.
Okay, we don't have it, man. We don't have a list in here of who's on the console. They said there was something about, I gave them there was a report on the next page about, who was talking to this. That's the one.
The place where the trouble began, in an oxygen tank. To get word here that they need to have their reaction control system power on. I'm getting some instructions and I couldn't quite understand those. And we're standing by and all circuits are quiet at the moment. Here in Mission Control, organized confusion at the moment as the flight controllers figure out what to do next. The mission of Apollo 13 to the moon has been aborted. The lunar module has been powered up to make up for a power failure in the command module. And at the moment, we have the astronauts disposed as follows. Jack Swigert is in the command module, James Lovell and Fred Hayes in the service module. The service module, or rather in the lunar module, let me correct myself. The lunar module right now is being used as a source of power and environmental control. The command module is essentially powerless right now. However, in very short time, batteries are being recharged and should be put back onto the system. And here in Mission Control, instructions are being sent out as to exactly what circuits. The critical circuits at the moment to be kept on are the computer and the communication circuits. And very shortly now, in about a little less than 2 hours, the descent propulsion system of the lunar module will be burned to send the command module on its way back to Earth, where it should arrive a number of days ahead of original schedule. To repeat, the situation right now, the mission of Apollo 13 to the moon has been aborted thanks to a power failure aboard the command module. The lunar module is being activated, and very shortly, we should get further advice as to exactly what will happen next. But we do know that the mission will be returning to Earth rather than landing on the moon. Roy Neal in Mission Control.
Yeah, we might want to get a handle of how much the crew wants to occupy this position. Their status may have changed.
Yeah.
They might have to.
Yes.
Maybe going to have a couple of people on.
At the moment, in the lunar module, James Lovell is trying to power up to make his computer work. He's not, at the moment, receiving power, and the guidance and navigation people here are passing along advice to the flight director, which should be passed up shortly to the astronaut, on the basis of which certain circuit breakers will be opened, which should give him power on the system.
Yeah.
They're talking about which breakers should be turned on so the power can be put to the right circuits in the lunar module by astronaut James Lovell, the commander of this flight.
Yeah, I think that'll take over 12. So I'll
they're pressurizing at the moment. Pressurizing presumably on some of the tanks, some of the critical tanks, the oxygen and hydrogen in this case. We're waiting to hear which.
Okay, well, whenever they do, I'll meet you over there.
2 and 3 men at each position in Mission Control.
Yeah, there's not much.
Positions normally staffed by one.
Our
flight is about to check the configuration. I'll repeat it for you. Lunny says, let's be careful what we tell the capsule communicator to pass up, to be sure that the instructions are clear for the astronauts. They're ready to pull the battery entry, the entry battery offline. That, of course, being necessary for entry when these men come back to Earth 3 days from now.
So, anyway, look, I'll talk to you more about this when I get over. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Flight is now saying to guidance, we're going to turn down the command module. I want to be sure we have control somewhere. Let's make sure we have control. Attitude control in this case.
Okay, yeah. 58 hours, 24 minutes. Okay, 58 hours.
They're waiting now to see when they get attitude control in the lunar module. And then they'll power down in the command module. Just waiting until they're sure they have control of the spacecraft through one or the other, using one spacecraft against the other at this hour. Wants to have attitude control. Glenn Lunny, the flight director, making sure that he has command of his situation before the next step is taken.
Scratch that completely, I'm not sure. I think they're going to have to get oxygen on that thing some kind. Okay, we're going to shut down the lunar module, or the command module. Yeah. Quote, I want to make sure we have attitude control somewhere. Comma, close quote. He said, ordering a double check.
They're planning now to burn the descent propulsion system of the lunar module at 79 hours and 30 minutes elapsed time, which would be a little less than 2 hours now, about 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Earlier, comma, as problem approached, it's pretty wrong.
20 hours from now, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong clock here. About 20 hours from now. Right.
With his controllers, comma, particularly
79 hours and 30 minutes elapsed time will be the burn time for the descent propulsion system, and they're estimating in that case a touchdown at approximately 142 hours elapsed time.
Before irrevocably ordering shutdown of the fuel cell was, quote, I want to be sure we're doing everything we can do, period, close quote. Replied ECOM.
RCS, quote, reaction control system.
Power down, flight. Period. We're not going to have anything in about 40 minutes. Parentheses, this was about 10:30 p.m. Houston time. Okay, end quote. Yeah, I will. Okay. Yeah. Okay, ECOM.
Let me confirm one thing, Doug. Time-based 5 right now would be...
The clock is used for keeping track of the... for initializing the computers, all of the computers in the real-time computer complex.
Right.
Run on Greenwich Mean Time.
Right.
Powering the fuel cell. Period. His projection of pressure loss.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Hello.
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 Hello, speak to us. We got the IFB. Telex is in.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm with you. This is Williams on the...
This is Russ.
That's Jack Swigert in Odyssey. talking to Jack Lausma in the Capcom position.
We've got an update, period. We'll be down to 100 pounds.
Now, the situation right now is that Lovell is still looking for AC before his 8-ball, before his indicators can read correctly. So they're trying to power up in the lunar module to give him AC for proper reading on his instruments.
Yeah, that's all I've got for now. Let me listen a little more to this one.
Doug, you guys are locked in. Do you want
any coffee
or anything?
Yeah, I'm running good. What do you want? Cream sugar. Black. I think the main thing. Need some money? You been going live, Brian?
Our GE time right now, 58 hours, 30 minutes.
Right.
So we can look for a burn then in approximately 21 hours from now. We're looking for a burn approximately 21 hours from now as an abort on the mission of Apollo 13. They're talking now of sending up commands to the digital autopilot and discussing what numbers should be sent up to the digital autopilot. There's Lovell confirming the digital autopilot numbers that he needs. And of course, the weight of Odyssey, the command and service module. Lunar module now taking command, taking control. Lovell is now presumably firing his jets, and Swigert is inquiring as to whether those jets are being fired. The jets, of course, for attitude control.
Yeah,
Doug Ward?
Yeah.
Apparently some trouble maintaining control from the lunar module.
Okay, he's not due on until midnight, according to the,
so the flight director.
Instructions I've got. Yeah, why don't you hang on?
Flight director suggesting what circuit breakers can be thrown.
The three. They're still up here.
This is a matter of passing along word so that Lovell can somehow obtain control from the lunar module. Now they have it. Going to run a check on the black boxes and the switches aboard the lunar module to make sure that everything is indeed in order. They say everything seems to be okay now. Control has been established.
Brian? This is Doug Ward. Howard is trying to reach you.
Guidance says okay.
Called and said that he's standing by downstairs.
They're going to power down now in the command module. The lunar module apparently in good shape, so they're planning to control, power down rather, in the command module.
It'll be about 30 minutes before they're ready to leave. Okay.
All quiet on the flight director's circuit. He's run his checks around the room. Here goes the word up to the astronauts. The flight director asked if there were any switches that should be thrown off other than those already mentioned, and was advised no. Let's wait and see what happens. Jack Swigert in the command module now powering down the command module. Lunar module in control. Lovell and Hayes aboard the lunar module, Swigert aboard the command module. Fuel cell 2 was the cell that remained in operation when cells 1 and 3 dropped out tonight. Capcom now querying flight to make sure that everything is okay, and flight says yes.
Down in the lobby, and they plan to make a change at 12.
Thank you. Now, presumably the command module has been powered down all the way. The lunar module not only controlling, but serving as a source of power and environmental control system for both spacecraft. Now what Flight wants to know is what configuration to power down to. How far can he power down while waiting for the time for the burn? He's waiting for word from this, from the various support people. They're running power profiles and should be able to advise him shortly. To see the command module now completely powered down and confirmed. Argosy, the lunar module, running the systems in control. They do have good LEM data. The lunar module is doing its job. Developed. Without the CSM, they're not getting good tracking data. The LEM data is not doing a proper job, so they have to power up some portion of the command module sometime soon. Flight's going to figure it out.
Hello.
They're well clear of the moon. Problem here for Flight to figure out how they get proper data. Do they power up a small portion of the command module? Director Glenn Money right now is talking in terms of the kind of power configuration that he will need for the long haul here. Most particularly, he's concerned with powering down as much as he can aboard the LEM, aboard, in this case, Aquarius, so that that spacecraft can maintain itself properly. Some questions being asked.
Just hang up.
Let me listen here,
hang
please.
On. I mean, hang on. Hold on there, Jim. They're going to try and reach you. You got nothing?
So he is concerned with maintaining a stable situation from now until burn time. Burn time's currently estimated at about 79 hours and 30 minutes. Quite some time from now, a number of hours. He's also concerned with how the proper tracking data can be sent back because the command module has been powered down and is no longer sending back data, and the lunar module data is not acceptable here. And so in the support rooms at Mission Control. The problems are being configured, are being worked on.
Yeah, 5833.
No answers as yet.
Money approved. The lamp taking control. Lunar module, RCS.
That's what I suggest.
Lunar module, RCS, was activated. In attitude hold.
We're ready to get shut down.
And after a circuit breaker in the
room, coming up here.
We're found in the off position.
Bill Stockton,
and clicked on, comma.
As the astronauts discuss their attitude control, let me fill you in also on the people who have now assembled upon the executive role here in Mission Control. Dr. Robert Gilman, the director of the Manned Spacecraft Center, to his left, James McDivitt, former astronaut, now the Apollo program manager, and to his right, Christopher Kraft, one-time flight director, currently associate director of this center. Not too far away, Sig Sjoberg, Kraft's replacement as director of flight operations. In other words, all of the executives have gathered here tonight to help solve this critical situation. That's the executive role, down on the flight director's role, as we watch right now. Flight director is Glenn Money, and to his left, Jerry Griffin, another of the flight directors who had heard of the problem and came in. And an astronaut role, we see Donald K. Slayton, Gene Cernan, Tom Stafford was here a short while ago, as was John Young, all gathered around Jack Lossner, currently the capsule communicator, and coming into the room now, Joe Ingalls. Astronauts, half a dozen of them, working because they had heard of the problem and came aboard to do what they could. At every console, two- and three-man groups discussing the situation.
And econ, question mark.
In the very important personage group, the VIP room, so-called. About half the room is filled with experts from the various branches of industry. Yes. Here to do what they can if called upon.
Question mark, close quote. New paragraph.
They're now talking about how current can be saved.
Quote.
How do you save current? In this case, power, the all-important item.
Quote. In unit.
The command module,
Running
Odyssey, has been powered down.
Told
power turned off, in other words. The lunar module, Aquarius, in control now.
Money then told Capcom Jack Lousman to order power down of the CSM. Period in the paragraph. 7 minutes later, comma, at 5840, comma, Lunny told his controllers to begin planning for the next 21 hours, comma, until a burn on the descent engine.
This obviously an attempt to fix the location of the spacecraft.
To send Apollo 13 back to Earth. There is a paragraph. Quote, my problem is going to be what LEM configuration to power down to, comma, close quote, Lunny said, period, open quote. Everybody should be running power profiles, and Jim McDivitt's people are getting us a set of numbers, period. We've got the number of long-range problems
to consider, period. We've got the burn to do at 79 hours, and we've got to get the tracking up. And in parentheses, tracking on the command and service modules, comma, which was lost during power down. Yeah. Okay, that's it for now. Yeah, exactly. Okay, look, the UPI guy is going to be in here, or whoever it is, it's going to be taken over, so, yeah, he's downstairs right now, he's on his way up. Very good. Okay, I'll talk to you later. All right.
Should be ready to hand over now, Jim, I think you're really downstairs waiting.
Okay, do I have to go down before he comes up?
Yeah, because you've got to give him your badge. Get him up.
All right.
Hang on just a second. I got Bill. A group of anxious men here at Mission Control in Houston are gathered around the consoles. They are talking at the moment through the capsule communicator Jack Lossma with astronauts James Lovell and Fred Hayes in Aquarius, the lunar module, which is in control of the situation, moving toward the moon. Jack Swigert is in the command module. That module, Odyssey, currently powered down, having suffered trouble in two out of the three fuel cells, trouble sufficient to abort the mission of Apollo 13 to the moon, and force a return to Earth. A return, however, that will not begin until the lunar module engines are fired up to accelerate the spacecraft, speed it up so that it will go around the moon and then return to Earth. That burn is expected in about 20 hours and a half, about 20 and a half hours from now. And this means that the astronauts will be returning to Earth a good deal earlier than expected at 142 hours into the mission, 142 hours after they took off. Right now, aboard the spacecraft, the men are setting power levels. Here at Mission Control, the various support sections are figuring out at what power levels they can operate.
The computers are being checked and aligned. The astronauts are looking out the window, checking stars. And that's the situation right now. To repeat, Apollo 13 will not land on the moon. Instead, engines will be burned aboard the lunar module some 20 and a half hours from now to send it on its way back to Earth. Roy Neal in Mission Control. At the moment, informatively, here in Mission Control, there is no conversation on the flight director's loops. Most of the conversation going on the floor. And people talking back and forth, not coming up on the various conference circuits as they figure the power levels to which the lunar module can be set to adjust it, to bring it down for the long haul, a longer haul than expected. Jack Lausman, capsule communicator, getting a good deal of advice from a number of astronauts who have gathered around him. Now let's listen now to the astronauts. Flight director's circuits now.
Oh, okay. In other words, did it ring?
Everyone busy,
did it
attempting to
ago?
Figure out where do we go from here. That's the next big question. What happens now? What levels do we go to? How do we seek a proper level, one that we can live with for the long haul, for the long period? Conversations all over the floor. No further information being transmitted back and forth. Instead, the discussions going on in back rooms and here in Mission Control proper, determining the best way to work themselves out of a very difficult situation.
Call right here if you have trouble getting the guy. Let me know if he's calling you now. Sure.
Yeah, Dick. Right. Right, when you plug the earphones in, it turns on my light here.
Okay.
They're in a roll aboard the spacecraft, and Capcom is determining with flight director how best to get out of it.
The circuits that you're monitoring, this is your flight director loop, this is your air ground, and this is your public courage release line.
What was that? It was on
that, you must...
They're about to give some updates here.
I don't think it's an active circuit.
On the necessary trims.
That's not an active circuit on that particular monitor. Easier,
they can't read the descent propulsion system gimbal angles on board. Having a little trouble with onboard readouts right now, so they're asking for some help from Mission Control. And the flight director says, we can watch them trim it. I'm not really sure of the nature of your question. They can trim it automatically, says the flight director. They can put it through the computer. And then they can verify the numbers here on the ground. They do have sufficient data here.
Thank you.
Glen Line. That's your voice there. I'll tell you, I'll identify him when he starts. That's Lonnie right there.
Doug, let me check these figures with you, if I may.
Okay, I almost need a flight plan to plug them back in.
Right. However, if I'm reading this for a dip support, we're looking here at time, which would come through at 79 hours, 25 minutes, 26 seconds,
right.
0.48. Okay? We're looking then at a perigee.
Try to get those mics off the podium. Quick, go up.
Mr. Sig Schoberg, Director of Flight Operations. We'll start with statements and then go to questions.
Can we wait just a second, please?
Louder.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I guess we should start out by saying that we have a serious problem in the command and service module. We appear to have had some kind of accident with the in the region of the fuel cells and the oxygen tanks. We have not tried too much to reconstruct the what has happened because we were more concerned at the moment for getting the situation under control. As you have seen, we've begun to use the limb as a device for keeping oxygen in both the command and service command module and the lunar module, and we're using the power system from the lunar module. It appears at the present time that everything is under control and that we have a safe situation at the moment. I think Colonel McDivitt may want to give you some more details on the systems, and Mr. Schoberg could certainly talk about the operations plans that are going on at the present time in the control center.
Right, Chris. The way we have the spacecraft configured right now is with the CSM powered down completely. Before we powered it down, we were able to isolate the surge tank and the emergency repress tanks in the in the command module. These provide oxygen for reentry, so we have a command module that has oxygen for reentry, it has the reentry batteries, and it has the pyro batteries and all the systems that are in the command module. Our malfunction apparently occurred in the bay, which includes the hydrogen tanks, the oxygen tanks, and the fuel cells, and was in no way connected with anything with the command module. We should be able to provide power, electrical power, from the LEM for the return voyage to Earth. We should be able to return on the oxygen within the LEM, and we'll be using the lithium hydroxide out of both the command module and the lunar module. We can still power the command module from the lunar module at low power levels to power the LEM from the command module. So we expect that we'll be using a dual spacecraft mode from now until the time that we get back to Earth. We'll be firing the LEM engine at some time later to accelerate our return voyage, and I think Sig probably comment on that best.
Minimum return to Earth time, this would be a total flight duration, would be about 133 hours. That would result in a landing in the Atlantic. That's one option we have. A second option would be to go to the Mid-Pacific line. That would take about 142 hours total flight duration. The burns to get you back would be made at about between 77 hours and 79 hours of flight from liftoff.
We'd anticipate that the descent propulsion system would be used for either of these maneuvers, and it has the capability of either the ones I described.
We're ready for questions now. Please wait for the mic. We're going to have to get all this. Where are we? Are you ready? Let's start here and work across. Mark Bloom, then we'll go this way, and we'll try to work to the aisle.
For Jim McDivitt or anyone who wants to ask, how much electrical life power at a time, lifetime, do we have in the LEM, and how much oxygen lifetime, how long do we have?
Well, Mark, it depends upon how we use it, obviously. We have four batteries in the descent stage of the LEM with 400 amp hours each. We have two batteries in the ascent stage with 296 amp hours each. If you rough that out quickly, it says we can use power at about 25 amps. Steady state current until we get back. Now, we'll have to arrange the electrical profile so that we can bring up the systems to perform the dock DPS maneuver, and then we'll power down to minimum levels and go along like that. When I left, we had an ample power supply to do the whole mission, but we were still roughing it out and trying to get in a configuration which we knew. Oxygen, we have 48 pounds of oxygen in the LEM descent tanks, which is more than adequate to do the mission. We also have a couple pounds in the LEM ascent tanks. I think I said descent. Descent tank has 48 pounds. The ascent tanks have about a pound or so.
To point out that we have locked up the CSM systems to preserve that spacecraft for reentry, both in terms of power and oxygen. So it is sufficient to support entry.
The command module is completely intact. There's no problem with it at all.
I wonder if we can expand a little more on the possibility of an Atlantic Ocean landing and what the recovery posture is for the Atlantic.
For an Atlantic landing, we would have airplanes with parajumpers on the scene at the time of landing. We're presently surveying that area of the Atlantic. As I remember, it's about 20 or 25 degrees south and about 25 or 30 degrees west longitude. And we're presently surveying the area for ships of opportunity. But we do not have a planned recovery ship in that area, as you know.
So would you, let me follow up on that. Would you say that now it seems a great deal more likely that you'd go for 142 hours and the Pacific where you have a recovery capability?
I think that's a good possibility, but I'd like to reserve judgment until I see what happens in the next hours. We have some 18 or 19 hours until that burn has to be made, so I think we'd certainly be watching the situation. The Pacific is a lot better from the standpoint that we have the ship there. It's better from a network standpoint, so it's a preferred place, even though it might take a little longer.
Chris or Jim, can you tell us where the three astronauts are and how they will be living in their return to Earth?
Well, when I left, I think that Jack Swigert was still in the command module and Jim and Fred were in the LEM. And I think that they'll be living between the two spacecraft until they return. Sometime before reentry, of course, the three of them will return to the command module and put the hatch back in and jettison the LEM, jettison the service module.
If I were going to guess, I'd guess that the two of them would sleep in the CSM while the other one stayed awake in the LEM. I would guess that they'll probably go to some kind of shift like that.
Yeah.
Can I follow it up? How are they going to be getting oxygen and heat and in the command module? From the LEM?
We're going to be running one environmental control system or the other. Initially, we'll be running the LEM system. That's what we're running right now. Now, intermittently, we'll run the CSM system to make sure that we keep the atmosphere in the LEM free of carbon dioxide. So we'll be alternating. That's why I say there'll be people in both spacecraft.
All right, we'll take some over here, then we'll come back. On this far side. Right there, yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody explain to me what you mean by a ship of opportunity in the Atlantic. Is that some merchant ship or Russian sub that happens to be
It could be a merchant ship. It could be, I suppose it could be a foreign nation's naval vessel, any of that kind of thing.
You mean any ship in the area?
Yes, sir.
Right here.
Chris, has this abort situation or altered trajectory ever been run on simulators? In just this way?
Oh, yes. Many times. We run all kinds of abort situations, and And if you recall, in Colonel McDivitt's flight, we actually burned the DIPS engine attached to the command and service module. The autopilot in the lunar module is designed to carry out the maneuver under those circumstances. That is the digital autopilot to damp the oscillations of the combined spacecraft. We are looking even at the possibilities of dropping the service module, but that particular type of maneuver has not been tested in flight, and we'd have to make ourselves certain that we could control the spacecraft under that kind of CG and inertia conditions. So that's kind of unlikely that we would do that. If we did that, it would give us that much more delta V, you see, because we'd get rid of quite a bit of weight from the CSM.
Zach Strickland?
Chris or Jim, if you've got a situation where the LEM oxygen system can provide like 50-plus hours for two guys, how do you equate that with 146 hours return if you don't have any kind of environmental control operation in the command module right now?
Normally, we on the lunar surface, we plan on three lunar surface repressurizations. It actually has enough for four. Now, there's about 6.6 pounds of oxygen per repressurization required, and the LEM leak rate is about 0.08 pounds per hour. The metabolic rate is a little bit, and we're using probably 0.2 pounds per hour, so we've got quite a large margin there.
You recharge the plisses also.
Pardon?
Let's get this straight if we can. You're saying you use 0.2 pounds per man per hour?
About a number is 6 to 8 pounds for the three men per day.
6 to 8 pounds for all.
Correct, and yeah. That plus what you might have for leakage.
You have to take in the cabin leakage too.
All right, let Zach finish.
If I can follow up here just a second. Have you got enough oxygen to get them back safely?
Yes.
All right, over here.
According to the press handouts, the Navy's got a standby task force in the Atlantic to recover if necessary. You wouldn't go to this, you'd go to the Ship of Opportunity emergency ship if necessary?
We don't have a U.S. Navy recovery ship in the Atlantic.
Is deemed necessary for this mission?
It was not deemed necessary for this mission.
Sig, where was the Atlantic recovery point again, geographically, if you could? And the Pacific.
This is rough, Paul, but it's something like 20 to 25 degrees south latitude, and I think it's about 30 degrees west longitude.
Just below the point of South America there, Paul.
The bulge in that area.
Due south of that.
You mentioned that you should be able to generate around 25 amps per hour, and you have to divide that out against the loads. Will there be sufficient power for the transponders so that you can get a good track on the spacecraft?
I will be able to bring them up when we need to, and I believe that we'll have that kind of power. I really don't have that close a handle on the power. We came over here before we had all those to that level.
As long as with the Omnis and the 220-foot dishes, I don't think we'll have any problem there.
Also, I appreciate that you haven't been able to give any thought to what caused all this, but I was looking through the transcript, and there were certain problems with the O2 tanks and cryo temperatures and problems of fan cycling and stratification. Does this... apparently, one of the tanks was oscillating very rapidly in temperature, and this was noted earlier today. Does this give you any thought of what might have happened?
No, not yet. Stratification is something that typically happens in these tanks, and it's nothing that we haven't seen before. Right now, I have absolutely no clue to what happened. We had something...
It was pretty widespread, we know.
Rather violent happened in Bay 4, we think. Something happened to the fuel cells in the oxygen tank, and they were down in that area. It was a rather violent kind of thing because it apparently reset some of the check valves in the RCS quads, which are susceptible to shock. But as far as what exactly happened, I have no idea.
Chris, are you confident that you have enough power under the current configuration to bring the Apollo back in?
Yes, but I think we'll have to be very frugal in how we use it, and that's what you've probably heard some of the discussions back and forth between the crew. We were trying to consider whether we would keep the platform up, for instance, between now and the time you go behind the moon, in order to maintain that alignment so that they wouldn't have to do another alignment when they get ready to do the burn on the dips and so on. So it will have to be very carefully used between here and Splash.
And how do you feel in point of concern between now and Gemini 8?
Well, I guess I would have to say I feel a great deal more concerned. We're still something like 70 to 80 hours away from the Earth. And in Gemini 8, we were never more than an hour and a half to get to a recovery point and never more than 20 minutes to land.
Okay. Carl will take one back in and move up this way again.
At the time that you left, what was the situation with regard to venting to the outside and motions of the spacecraft from that? Was there any?
Not as,
I don't know.
I can't recall.
The venting had been decreasing, and if we were leaking probably from that bay, and if it looked like the pressures were all dropping, so I would assume that the venting had gone down, but it was a little difficult to tell from the conversation. I would assume that the venting had decreased considerably.
Are you not getting any particular rates anymore at the time you were leaving?
Not that I recall. I think they had the LEM RCS system up, and so it would be difficult to tell even then whether they did have any rates.
They were transitioning from one spacecraft control system to another and running back and forth through the tunnel and aligning the platform. There's an awful lot of activity going on, and we didn't ask them what the rates were.
I believe I heard Fred Hayes mention that it might be considered to use a deep space abort in order to immediately get the burn over with and power down the LEM so you wouldn't have that drain in keeping it powered up till they get around the moon. Has this been completely disregarded now?
We can't. The position we are now on the Earth-Moon plane, we have to go around the moon to get back if we're going to use the DIPS engine. You would have had enough capability with the SBS engine, but of course we don't dare use that now. So we have to go to the back side of the moon and come back.
I have a question in three parts. First of all, if they do choose the Pacific method of recovery, will the recovery point be changed from original planning or will it still be the same?
I think it's moved west and south some. I think it's about 165 degrees west and some 20 degrees south. It is farther south and farther west than the end of mission landing.
Would this, the other two questions kind of combine. If you did land in the Atlantic and you did have to go to a ship of opportunity, would you hesitate at all to ask any ship of any nation?
No, sir, I wouldn't.
Will this necessitate future thinking toward a backup recovery fleet in the Atlantic?
We certainly will reassess that, yes, sir.
Have one in the back there.
Chris, will you come in at 400K, and will there be any problem in jettisoning the LEM entry?
All of that's
what
done.
Will be that mechanic, sir?
It's done the same way as it is around the moon, and the same way coming back from the moon with the service module. You have pyrotechnic batteries and separate pyrotechnic lines, electrical sources, which are dependent only on those power sources. So we don't have any problems there in terms of separation. Now, the dynamics, mechanics of the thing would not be a problem either.
For Jim McDivitt, is a situation like occurred in Bay 4 something that might have occurred if it was hit by a meteoroid? And for Chris Kraft, in following up your earlier comments, do you feel they have a good chance to make it back?
Well, you ask me first. There was something which appeared to be quite violent that occurred in Bay 4, and yes, if you were struck by a meteor, it would be quite violent. I'm not assuming that's what happened, Mark, but that could have done it.
Yes, I think their chances are excellent at the moment, assuming that the lunar module continues to operate well.
Can you think of anything else that might cause such a violent event as besides a meteor?
No, we could probably think of an infinite number of things that could...
Well, two or three that would be within the realms of likelihood, I mean.
I guess I really... There are a lot of things that could have happened. It would be just pure conjecture. Anything that's down there that's pressurized could have let go, and there are all kinds of pressurized things. There are pressurized hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, fuel cells. it's a very complicated bay that, this happened in.
Right, Hill.
What is the moment that you have to get everybody out of the limb and back into the command module and seal it off and get ready for entry? I mean, how late can you continue to use the limb before you have to go to the batteries on the command module?
It's pretty late. It doesn't take too long to get back in a CSM. The thing that you want to make sure is that you have adequate time to put the hatch in and blow the limb off, and that really doesn't take very long.
I'm sure that will be a process where a couple of them will get back in the CSM, get everything set up, and they'll do that as late as possible.
How late? I guess we'd have to work that out. 30 minutes or hour or 15 minutes or some range like that.
We want to start using the CSM batteries as late as possible.
Okay, we're going to come up the middle. Harry?
On the present trajectory, how far beyond the moon will they go before they start to hook back? And what would the miss distance at the Earth be without a correcting burn from the dips?
Well, on the present trajectory, we would come within about 60 nautical miles of the backside of the moon. We are not on a free return trajectory at present. It would take a very small burn, say in the next 5 or 10 hours, to get us back on a free return on the order of 20 to 40 feet per second. I can't answer your second question about how far we'd miss. I don't know.
Right here. Yes,
sir. Will the dips burn be the major rocket maneuver you will make on coming back, and if so, where will it be, on the far side of the moon? Or
it'll be on the far, yes, it will be the dips. It will be on the some place between perilune on the far side of the moon and 2 hours after that.
Let's pick these up coming up the middle of the aisle. We'll just take them both sides. All right, Paul, go ahead.
Do you recall the approximate mileage at which point you could still do a deep space abort and come back? What is the crossover? 140, 150,000?
It's probably farther than that, Paul. I don't remember the exact number, but I think at the time of this incident, if you'd used the SPS engine, you could just about have done it, but it would have taken just about the whole thing.
176,000.
Something like that.
Yeah, if I recall, Paul, I think the number was 9,000 foot per second and about 140 hours.
What would cause you to choose the Atlantic over the Pacific for recovery? And are you now surveying the Atlantic to find out what ships are available to you?
Yes, we are surveying the Atlantic to find out what ships are available. I think the only reason you go to the Atlantic, if sometime between now and the burn, something would happen to make you very time critical in getting back.
Burn more quickly or sooner?
No, it's a bigger burn to go to the Atlantic. It's about 2,000 or 1,900 feet per second and gets you back some 9 hours earlier.
And how many feet per second?
It's about 900.
Let's come up here. We have the gentleman in the middle of the row there, in the khaki jacket.
In the transcript, and I'd like to read from this, Lovell says, I've got to put the cabin reprint valve in there. Every time he does that, our hearts jump in our mouths. Now, I don't understand what he's talking about here, but could this have anything to do with the accident? If something happened that made their hearts jump in their mouths, what was it?
I think he's talking about the cabin repress valve in the limb, which goes bang when you operate it.
Colonel McDivitt said that any pressurization could do anything. Is there any link here?
Any pressure?
No.
I guess I don't understand the question.
What you're asking is, did that statement have anything to do with the accident? And I think definitely not. He was talking about something that went on in the lunar module as opposed to where the accident occurred in the command service module.
I'd like to go back to Bay 4. Do you expect to be able to tell exactly what happened there, and if so, how soon?
Well, we have people working at it right now, and I don't know whether we'll ever be able to tell exactly what happened there or not. We're reducing the data like we do on all of the on the space flights and whenever we have an anomaly, and to date we've been quite successful in determining what happened. Whether or not we are in this case, I have no idea. We're certainly going to do the best job that we can. Well, sometimes it takes a long time. I have no idea on this. I haven't seen the data myself at all. We were trying to figure out what to do rather than to play out the old data.
And that's what we'll be doing till we get them back on the water, is concentrating on everything that is their lives are dependent upon at the moment rather than worrying about the accident, because there's nothing we can do about that now. This service module is no longer useful in most cases because the oxygen is depleted. So other than the fact that you've got some propulsion left and the batteries in the command module, and we're going to worry about those situations from now to splash.
Initially, we were trying to find out what was wrong down there so we could possibly correct it before we lost the oxygen. We weren't able to do that in time, and I think that we'll put that effort on a very low priority right now and work on the other stuff. Pardon? No hints.
What about your thermal control situation? Do you expect any problems from heat because of your configuration now?
Well, we're not going to be able to just maintain a single attitude hold all the way to the moon and back. We're going to have to do something, and we've been working on that. I guess the guys are working on that now, aren't they?
That's right. I don't think we can answer that question truthfully, right, because we've never had a situation where we've not had powered up conditions in the command module and powered conditions in the LEM. So that's probably going to be a real-time situation.
Chris, at the risk of asking you to oversimplify a very complex situation, and certainly I don't mean this facetiously, is there any concern, real concern, can you get them back, taking into consideration all the imponderables, the power, the oxygen, the landing area, and all this sort of thing? Is this?
If the situation remains stable as it is at the moment, there's no question but what we have the thing under control and we can return the crew safely to the Earth. Now, we're going to have to make some compromises and procedures as how you do that, but that can be done. We've got a number of different ways of doing things, like reentry. If we couldn't, for instance, get the platform up, we have the what we call the entry monitoring system. We can enter at constant G if we had to with no entry monitoring system. If everything remains as is, we can get them back successfully. Now, if there was some change in the status of the lunar module, then that might mean something else, and we will keep you appraised of that situation.
All right, right here.
Chris, what can you anticipate that might happen that already hasn't happened? Can you give us an indication of what could happen?
You might have some problem with some system in the lunar module that would put us in a very serious situation, like a leak in the oxygen system or something that would happen to the electrical power.
There's no indication now that there's anything wrong with the LEM. It's performing properly, and like Chris said, if everything works the way it is now, there's no doubt that they'll come back all right.
Okay.
What time did the accident occur?
I don't have an exact
time. It must
have been 56 hours.
Yeah, 55 and a half to 56 hours in that time period. I didn't.
All right.
Mark.
The crew be in wearing their space suits, or will they be shirt sleeve, or how will they be traveling the rest of the trip?
Well, they're shirt sleeves right now. I would guess they'd probably stay shirt sleeves. I see no reason to go back to the suits.
In both crafts?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take these two here, then we're going to come back on this side.
Jim, I'm not clear on what the venting did to the spacecraft's attitude and pitch roll in yaw.
Well, he had a negative pitch and a negative roll, and that's one of the clues that we had that something happened in Bay 4, in addition to the fact that we had all these other anomalies to the equipment that's in there. It meant that it was pitching nose down and it was rolling to the left.
I think the other thing you have to remember is that we have certain instrumentation that we can believe or not believe. I mean by that when you have something like this happen, you don't know that you're not reading false information from some of the instruments. So you have to look at those and see how they failed, etc., and see what the measurements are, see which direction they went when they began to fail, to see whether you're reading true information.